Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, the temps are getting a little bit cooler, but I hope the sun is shining wherever you are, as it is here in the Pacific Northwest. Our storm warnings have sort of passed on by, which I'm very grateful for. But gee whiz, with the colder temperatures coming in, and we're not too far away from holiday seasons, where all of us are just hoping and praying that we will not be expanding in girth during these next few months. We have a wonderful guest today. Her name is Susan Burke March, and she decided she wanted to put into book form not just her story, but also how you can make weight control second nature. So get out those pads of paper and pens and be ready to take some notes, because I think we're going to be hearing some very, very good tips. Welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here.
Now, I want to give my audience a little bit of background about you. You were the chief clinical nutrition manager at Mount Sinai Hospital of Queens, New York. But things changed in 1999 for you, and you decided you were going to accept a position at eDiet.com, or diets, I should say, .com.
Correct. Uh-huh.
And you've been really involved with nutrition. You've got a master's degree in nutrition education from Queens College. You have worked with people who are diabetic. In fact, I've shared your book with someone that I know that's really going through some heavy challenges due to their diabetes and their heavy weight that they carry around. You've been the External Relations Assistant Director for Weight Management Dietetic Practice Group, and this is a professional group associated with the American Dietetic Association. Susan, you yourself went through your own personal challenge with weight. Tell us how that evolved and what you learned, and then let's hear about this eDiets.com. I had not heard of it prior to doing the review of your material. Give us a little bit of your background.
Okay, Donna. Well, it's not a straight line to the dietitian, that's for sure. I, like so many young people, gained that weight as a teen. I had been normal kid. My mom had kept a pretty healthy household, but I grew up in a household where there was dieting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Both my parents and my grandparents would periodically go on, and I put that in quotes, a diet, and go off a diet. Because they didn't really have any kind of a foundation in fitness or any kind of regular activity schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got into my late teens, I found that I was gaining weight, and like so many people do, I didn't really understand how to keep it off. I didn't have a healthy lifestyle. So it took me a long time through my 20s, and I actually had developed an eating disorder. And I write about it in the book, where I was using food to deal with stress like so many people do. When you're anxious or you're tired or you're bored or all these frustrations, I would use food to feel better. And research shows that food and overeating can really promote or provoke some hormonal relief, and it just becomes a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to deal with this at all. But luckily for me, I kept trying. I kept going to different programs, and I went on every diet there was. But I didn't realize that I had to really incorporate some real basic behavioral changes, and getting some help and counseling to really achieve some stability in my fitness and my diet and my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I built upon this and realized that instead of doing what I was doing, which was selling insurance, which is not a horrible thing, but it wasn't something that I really enjoyed. I wasn't looking forward to going to work. I was able to return to school and fulfill a dream, which was to do something that I really enjoyed. I kind of made my vocation, my avocation, and I went back to school to become a registered dietitian and just got so excited about the science behind weight loss that I created a whole new career. Luckily for me, I was able to do this.
Well, when I was reading your book, I thought, boy, there's a lot of lights that go on in my brain department, because like so many women, and when you said you were raised in a household that was constantly dieting, I was put on a diet when I was 5 years old, which is the most ridiculous thing you could ever do. But it was just the thing you did. I was raised in Southern California, and my mother had this thing in her head, and it was just unbelievable. And so there were a lot of patterns that I can look at today as a mature woman and go, holy Moses, these are some of the triggers that activate certain things. You have a section in your book where you say eating disorders from a family systems perspective, and I'm going to quote directly. You say, research from a family systems perspective indicates that eating disorders stem from both the adolescent's difficulty in separating from over-controlling parents and disturbed patterns of communication. That goes back to the food being a stress release factor. Mm-hmm. And when parents are critical and unaffectionate, their children are more prone to become more self-destructive and self-critical, and they have difficulty developing the skills to engage in self-caregiving behaviors. Such developmental failures in early relationships with others, particularly maternal empathy, impairs the development of an internal sense of self and leads to overdependence on the environment,
right?
Food. When coping strategies have not been developed in the family system, food and drugs serve as a substitute. Now, someone might say to this, oh, good Lord, is there anything else we're going to come up with to take away personal responsibility? But there are triggers here, and in today's world, well, my goodness, I used to walk 3 to 5 miles, every day to school, to and from. Bicycling was very much a part of daily activity. You went everywhere on a bike. I walked everywhere. And most of the kids today are driven. They're just not involved. You've got so much good information here. Your research that you present in the book, where did this research come from regarding these developmental problems that can occur and we don't even consider them until we're mature enough to be able to recognize it? How do you get these numbers?
Well, eating disorders, I mean, I'm glad you called attention to the fact that I put all this stuff right up front in this book, because the book is, it is a story. It is a story. It's not just my story, but it's a story that I used, and I illustrated with a lot of other contributions from other dietitians and other people who kind of have gone through this journey from overweight to in control. And the Weight Management Practice Group of the American Dietetic Association is a wonderful professional group because it is science-based. So that there is no easy fix for weight control. It really is a continuous educational journey for people who need to really take control of their lifestyle. But it isn't just pulling yourself up by your bootstraps when you're using food to deal with stressful situations and emotions that you've never understood or have never been able to deal with. Food is a legal drug. And it is an acceptable substance in our society. In fact, it is all around us. We're urged to overeat on a continuous basis, and it's very difficult to even sit down and relax in front of the television without being provoked to go and get something fatty or sweet or sugary or whatever. So the point is that my book is a more of a motivational thing with some science behind it, using all the information that I've been able to gather from the various journals and credible publications because that's what I am. I'm a registered dietitian, and I'm very much in favor of not just saying that something works because somebody else says it works, but because there's research and studies and random controlled scientific information out there that shows that some things work and some things don't. And what I really have found, you know, okay, so we know that we're overweight, and we know that some people deal with overeating positively by taking steps to eat less the next day or exercise more, and some people just get overwhelmed by the sadness and guilt that is provoked from overeating. And we know that whatever diet, quote-unquote, you go on to lose weight, it will work. There are fad diets, and they all work. But why? Because they're telling you to do something different than what you usually do. And if you do something different than what you usually do, for example, go on a diet, someone else's diet, mm-hmm. then you could definitely lose some weight. But it will be a temporary weight loss, because you usually will return to what you did before you went on that diet. And so you'll regain the weight. The point of this book is to take a happy view of control, meaning that there are so many things in this world that are not under our own control. Somebody tells us what time to wake up, what time to go to work, where we have to be, what we have to wear, when we have to leave. But only you could control what's put in your mouth, and nobody's going to swallow it for you or chew it. You know, you have control over that, and it's the point of all diets that work. It's the fact that your diet is the only one that will work permanently. And when you adopt a diet that is suited for you, for your lifestyle, for example, if you don't have time to cook recipes, you don't want a quote-unquote diet that's going to force you to cook. You're going to need something that's convenient for you. But whatever way you choose to lose weight, you have to be able to incorporate those new behaviors into your lifestyle permanently. And that's what making weight control second nature is all about. And that's why this book is founded on research, in that I try to show within the book the right types of portions that you want to look for, whether it's a recipe plan or it's a portion control plan or it's a convenient plan. Mm-hmm. That's going to be right for you, and how to incorporate just natural activities into your lifestyle. You don't have to run a marathon. You don't have to go even join a gym, but you do have to incorporate some fitness into your lifestyle in a consistent way. And that's I have a lot of tips and a lot of different ideas about how to do that, depending on what you need.
Right, and I think that everyone has emotional triggers, and you bring out the point that there's very few people in this world that are naturally thin. We all can think of someone. I've got a friend whose husband, my goodness, Woody, was like a toothpick. This guy, we would look at him, and his wife was so disgusted with him. They had been married like for 50 years. This guy could sit down and eat 2 pounds of chocolate-covered maraschino cherries and never do anything. But nobody paid attention to the fact that the plant that he worked in, he was running up and down stairs all day long and probably was doing 30 or 40 flights for the entire day. And he literally was burning it up. You look at people that climb mountains, they can have 10,000 calories a day, and they're going to burn every calorie that they're utilizing because of the weather and the extreme physical stamina that they've got to maintain. Well, that's great, but if they did that as soon as they got off the mountain and ate 10,000 calories a day, they wouldn't be able to be anything but a mountain. That's what they're
exactly.
trying to. So we all have our own individual sizes and shapes, and I think one of the things that's so sad, and I think of a woman that I talked with not too long ago, who is a woman of size, and she was so embarrassed. I complimented her on a new blouse that she was wearing, and she said, yes, this was purchased by my children. And it was fitting her a little more tightly than it should have been. But she said, you know, I've gotten so discouraged. I don't even want to go shopping. I look in the mirror, and I just want to hide. I just don't know what to do. And it breaks your heart because this is a person that is basically attractive, yet the weight, they're battling diabetes, they have counted calories and have done everything and nothing's budging, they're on medication. This person is just absolutely fighting a battle, and I think so often she just says, what the heck, I'm going to just give up on this. But there's that little bit of fire that's burning inside of her, mm-hmm. and I told her about your book, mm-hmm. and I said, you need to know about this because you need to not give up because she's mm-hmm. having a lot of physical problems because of what right. she's going through. But this is a tremendous emotional burden, tremendous yeah. emotional burden.
Right. You know, and that's such a really sad, that touches me, that story touches me, because the frustration of when you think you're doing everything right and nothing is changing is palatable. I could hear it. And mm-hmm. there are, you know, different expectations. People bring expectations to their lifestyle and themselves, and they look in the mirror and they only want to see a quote-unquote skinny girl. But the weight you're at is much less important than other things. Weight is just a number on the scale. But the other important criteria for health are the other medical indicators. Mm-hmm. So to get this person to focus on health is number one, I think. And to really understand, if your blood pressure is high, just losing 5%, just 5% of your current weight can lower that blood pressure into a normal range. If your blood sugars are high, the same. But physical is really important. There might be other underlying conditions that she's not aware about. So number one is get a physical before you start any different program. You should get a physical and see whether or not your thyroid is working well, whether or not there are any other medical conditions that might be contributing to weight gain mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. not being able to lose weight. Mm-hmm. And then work with a registered dietitian. I really advocate that. At least one face-to-face with some really well-educated person who understands how to create a program that's unique to you. And get a support group. Get a support group because it's not all about weight. It's much more about consistency and activity. Because everything that you do to maintain a healthy lifestyle is going to make you feel better. And feeling better is the first, that's the most important thing. It kind of spirals from there. It spirals up from there, not down. Meaning that you build upon any kind of behavioral change. So every single day that you do something that's healthy for you is a day that you could look back and say, I did it, and I'm better off for it. Changing your mindset against good and bad foods is really important. Food does not have human quality. There's a little thing in here about the baked potato, right? Like
right.
that poor baked potato. You know, why do people think it's so bad? Well, when they put butter and cream and sour cream and fat on it, now they've turned it into a fat vehicle. But the food is not bad. It's either fatty or it's high in fiber or it's low in calories or it's high in vitamins and minerals. So think about fuel for your fitness rather than fat calories or bad foods like that. But that's what I would say to somebody who's really trying to get started and feels already discouraged. The people who are, quote-unquote, naturally thin are, in all my experience, practicing thin behaviors. Mm-hmm. And they're not fixating on what they eat on a daily basis, but they do educate themselves. It's like Dr. Katz said about it, it's the gift of knowing how. And giving yourself that gift by learning all you can and not being fooled by manufacturers and being a rebel and really making your choices, that's the way to start going about this change.
I agree. And I know that little things can make a difference you have a story in here about yourself, how you went in and bought bran muffins. And, of course, they're the mega muffins. And I can remember being on a business trip. This was many years ago, and I was in Santa Barbara, and I was introduced to this wonderful bakery. I mean, it was a good bakery. I mean, you could have had anything in there and gone out smiling, licking your lips for hours. I mean, it was just absolutely wonderful. Well, yeah. I thought I was really being smart and savvy, and I was ordering a bran muffin, and all of a sudden I began to notice weight gain. And I was just having one bran muffin. Little did I realize that bran muffin was anywhere from 600 to 1,000 calories. That was just the bran muffin. There wasn't any of the other caramelized cheesecake specials that they had. There were, you know, people stood in line. They were around the block trying to get into this place.
Right.
But it is amazing. Those things can add up so fast, depending on how efficient your body is at storing it. And if you're not physically active, all of a sudden you go, whoa, where did that 5 pounds come from? I haven't eaten that much. You really haven't eaten that much, but it's the calorie density sometimes in the food.
Yeah, and the foods that we perceive as healthy, for example, like bran muffins, they could be loaded with, just because it's bran doesn't make it good. No, I mean, if it's full of sugar and fat and oil. So I've kind of developed the been there, done that thing mentality, meaning that, yeah, it tastes good, yeah, it tastes sweet, yeah, I know what it tastes like, it tastes great. But what does it mean to me, and where does it fit into my healthy lifestyle, and how important is it for me to not diet again? So I think of fitness as my job, as something that I do as a natural way of thinking. When you have a job to do, when your boss says, you go in for your interview, you ace the interview, and you talk about a project that needs to be done. Now your boss says, okay, I get it. You understand that you're going to get this project done. I believe you're going to do it. I'm going to hire you. And there you go, Susan. Now, I'll expect this on my desk. On a continual basis, let's set a schedule, and you report into me once a week. Well, I, being the good person, worker that I am, I know I want to keep this job. I've got bills to pay, and I've got a goal to maybe go on vacation next year. I don't want to lose this job, so I get all the resources that I need to make it work. Well, I'm not going to say to my boss, oh, I didn't feel like doing it on Thursday because there was, I wanted to go to the Mets game or something. No, I'm going to do it because I have a goal. And that's how you have to feel about and think about and really own your body. You have to think about it as your job. Your job is to put in the right fuel and get the activity so you could get the job done. You can't think about it as, it is non-negotiable. And yes, there is room, and you schedule room in there for a party or a celebration or even a vacation. But you schedule it in such a way that it's part of your natural lifestyle, and it's not different. This is all part of something that is going to be something that you enjoy, because if you think of it as a diet or if you think of it as something temporary, then every time you pass that bakery, you're going to say, ooh, I really like that, and you're going to go for it, and then you're going to castigate yourself and say, oh, gee, why did I eat that? It's a whole mind change. It's a total different mindset. It's not dieting, it's living.
Mm-hmm.
Living naturally thin. That's how I feel about it.
One of the components that so many men and women will say they have to experience and that just throws them for a loop is that there might be a spouse or a family member that will sabotage them. And it's interesting how this occurs. Sometimes a spouse or a lover or a real good friend may be resentful that you're doing and you're looking so good, and they will do little things, and before you know it, you're going against the grain. How would you the grain of accomplishment that you want to achieve, how would you address that situation? What would you say to those individuals that experience that and just go, oh, I just feel like it's an uphill battle all the time. What do I do?
That is such an important point. The person that you think should be your biggest cheerleader may have other thoughts about your change. So I actually talk about this in the book about what I can control and what I can't control. I can't control what anybody else thinks or what anybody else does. And that goes for everybody and everything in all kinds of relationships. You can only do what you want to do, what you need to do. And I would say that it's very important to talk about what you're planning to do and say that you appreciate your family or your spouse's or your friend's support. But you understand very well if they can't, if they have their own reasons for not supporting you, you understand it. But you say in a very firm and very committed way what you're going to do, and then you do it. That's all you can do is do it. And there's another mantra that I have that really helped me when I was changing my lifestyle, and that is prepare to succeed. You need to prepare to succeed. That means in whatever situation you're going to be in where you might feel that there is people who are not supporting you. Like, for example, in a family gathering. I had a family gathering this past weekend, and I am lucky I have gotten my husband on board with me, but my neighbors were having a breakfast, and I knew what they were serving for breakfast because we had been there for the evening before, and they were talking about what they were going to have for breakfast. So we ate breakfast before we went to breakfast.
Oh, that was smart.
Yeah, because we knew that at the breakfast it was going to be, you know, sausage and eggs and bacon and stuff like that. Not that it's quote-unquote bad food. It's just that food I don't really want to eat. So we ate breakfast, and they had fruit salad. So I had some extra fruit after I ate breakfast, which was absolutely fine because I love fruit, and I could incorporate that into my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's a very complicated issue. But having a mantra in your head and talking about it and never letting it be a passive-aggressive kind of thing. I'm not a psychologist, but I've been to enough counseling and training as a dietitian that I understand that being very clear and open and definite about what you want to do for yourself and having the resources, make sure you're prepared. That will really go so far in allowing you to make those choices that you want to make to maintain your healthy lifestyle.
I like a statement you make in your book that you don't use the word diet. You stopped being on a diet. You began to eat to lose weight. And I was in a grocery store a short time ago today, and it broke my heart when I saw the beautiful actress Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
They had this photograph blasted all over one of these rag sheets. And I thought, here is this woman that had achieved a weight loss by following a certain program. And now she is just so large, and there's this putting her down all the time, and I know that this is a woman that is just mortified, and perhaps some of her eating behaviors are because of the fact that people are looking at her, making fun of her, criticizing her, doing all of this stuff. But there are so many people, they do that, you know, they go through things like this, they may have people making fun of them. How would you encourage a person that maybe they're blasting themselves all the time, or maybe loved ones are blasting them, giving them, you know, derogatory remarks? What would you want them to know? I mean, your book is great, and I'd recommend that they get your book, Making Weight Control Second Nature, because I think it's excellent. But what would you want to leave them with in the way of a thought today?
Well, Donna, I in my chapter 5, I quote Zig Ziglar,
mm-hmm.
who's the motivational talker. He's just wonderful. And he says, what you get by achieving your goals is not as important as what you become by achieving your goals. And I wanted to say that is what happened to me, meaning that I was very deep in despair about gaining and losing and gaining and not being able to understand how to make this change and become this person that I could look in the eye and said, oh, gee, you're doing the best you can for you today. And I think it is a process, and you need to understand that sometimes you need some help, and you can get some counseling and you could get some help. And the more you try, the more you'll know, and the easier it will become. It's one day at a time, one meal at a time, one food at a time. And it's not about dieting. It is about living and doing the best you can do for yourself. Mike Huckabee is somebody in there that I quoted as really taking charge of his weight and his life because he had gotten a diagnosis of diabetes, and his doctor said, you're going to be dead in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He lost some weight, but he's regained some weight. And I wrote him a letter on his email, on his website. I said, I think that you're going to do it because you know how to do it. It's one day at a time. It's taking the chance to make the choices and not turn to food for relief, but to turn to fitness and to lose the language of diet and to start thinking about change and thinking about positive change. That's what I would like to say to people, that it is not about diet. It's about what you can and can't control and doing it one day at a time.
Susan Burke March. Her book is excellent. I recommend that if you have battled the bulge like so many of us have had to go through, Making Weight Control Second Nature, Living Thin Naturally. Wow, it is full of good tips. And Susan's website is susanburkemarch.com. That's SusanBurke March.com. Susan, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you very much.
This is Donna Seabolt. We are taking a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. I invite you to call in if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here is our toll-free worldwide number, 888
815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And just to fill you in, those of you who are in the state of Alaska listening to the show today, I'm going to be in Fairbanks as well as Anchorage. I will be available for private appointments, and if you need to reach me for that, and I'm going to be going up to Fairbanks, we'll be broadcasting live the 12th through the 14th, and then I'll be in Anchorage the 15th through the 18th. So it's going to be a quick trip, but I'm really looking forward to it. It's one of my favorite places on this planet of ours. I love the state of Alaska. So anyway, if you want to reach me, you can call me at 800-872-8852. Also, for those of you in the state of Washington, there is a wonderful event called the Dickens Festival that's held in downtown Tacoma, and it is so terrific for the family. It's being held this year on November 21st, and I'm going to be there at the King's Bookstore, and I'll be doing many sessions for people. I'll be in costume, and it is a fabulous event. Part of the proceeds that will be collected will be donated to a special charity. So go to the Dickens Festival on the web, and you will find in Tacoma, Washington, and you'll find out more information. My hours for my appearance in Tacoma, Washington, will be 12 noon until 4 in the afternoon. Again, at King's Bookstore in downtown Tacoma. They have all kinds of wonderful things that they do. So that's just to give you a heads up on things that are going to be going on. And again, the telephone lines are now open. If you should desire to have a telephone interaction with me today, this is the number to call, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with world-famous Richard Bach. This is the man who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull, Illusions, and a number of other fabulous publications. This new one, it's right up there with Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Illusions. It is called Hypnotizing Maria. This is a wonderful story. It's been a number of years since Richard has published anything, and now he has come out with this golden nugget. I know you will thoroughly enjoy hearing Richard. He lives here in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm so pleased that I'm going to be able to have him as a guest tomorrow. So we'll be having him tomorrow as our guest. And then on Thursday, Andrew Harvey will be talking about his publication, The Hope, A Guide to Sacred Activism. Today's world seems to be filled with so much dark gray. And being that that is the case, what could we do as individuals to make a difference? Well, Andrew is going to give us some perspectives that he has. And I think we need to know one person can make a big difference in a big way, but we have to take that position of being proactive, not apathetic. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking about sign language. That may sound a little strange to be doing that on a radio show, but Christine Jenkins will tell you the value of sign language, and it's a wonderful thing to teach young children, because it really is a fabulous communication tool. So that's the lineup that we have for this week. And if you want to check on other upcoming guests, all you need to do is go to bbsradio.com, The Donna Sebo Show, and you'll be able to tap on The Donna Sebo Show and find out what the guests, when and where they're going to be appearing and what the topic is going to be. So I invite you to do that. And remember, always, if you want to go into archives, you can do that as well, because the shows are kept in files so that you can, at your convenience, go back and review them whenever you desire. Give me a buzz, 888-815-9756. There is some information that has come across my desk that I think is really worth reading. The reason being that throughout the years, there's always been information about how to be alert when you travel. And I've had guests on my shows that have said, this is what you do to protect yourself if you're in another country. This is what you do at home, and so on and so forth. And I think being aware is so important. Sometimes people will say when you discuss certain conditions, oh, that's such negative thinking. You're not going to have problems unless you expect problems. Well, life isn't a straight line.
life has all kinds of situations in it and all kinds of people in it of various character. And there are some who, yes, they are characters, but they're not positive characters. And you need to take a proactive approach. And having worked for a police department, this is nothing new. And it's just become more accentuated today, I think, because of population density. One of the things that we need to be aware of when we're driving, and this is something that was described as a chauffeur's trick. Think of these people that often are driving movie stars, or they have large parties, and of course they can be a prime target if someone knew who was inside. Well, they say chauffeurs are trained to make sure that you leave enough space between you and the car that's in front of you so that you can see their rear tires. This leaves you turnout space, room to maneuver if anyone tries to get into your car or stops in front of you suddenly. There was a rash of that happening in California a few years back. So if you give yourself plenty of space, then you can do a quick spin up. Let me share with you a story of a man, and his name was changed to protect his privacy. His name was Roger Dunn. And he was driving along. He had his family with him. A white pickup truck pulled up alongside his automobile in Illinois. He was on an expressway. And the driver tried to run him off the road. His wife and his two children were in the vehicle, and he just didn't want to have a confrontation with whoever this person was because, obviously, they were loony. And that's my word I put in there. So he decided he was going to take the next exit. Well, the antagonist in this white van followed him, did the same. So he decided that he was going to pull to the side. Guess what? The antagonist decided he was going to do the same thing. And what happened is the antagonist was close enough to his vehicle that he began to hit his car. Dunn, when he was interviewed about the event, he said, "I thought we were done for." He said, "My children were screaming. They didn't know what was going on." So Dunn hit the accelerator, takes off, and he's weaving in and out of traffic. He took one turn too wide. He lost control of his car, and he was spinning around, and he came to a dead stop in the middle of an intersection. The pickup flew over the curb, barely missing him, and he hit the gas again. This time, he saw a police car outside of a strip mall, and he turned into the strip mall area. The driver, who had been creating this problem, was found. He had been drunk. He had really been highly intoxicated, and nobody could figure out what was going on with this guy. Well, probably he was so intoxicated that what I'd call the shadow part of himself was just taken over, and he was playing something out in his head. Maybe it was one of his favorite movies. Who knows? But this situation could happen to anybody. So it's very important that we really be alert and aware, not fearful. There's a big difference. But being proactive and being aware enables you to do something. If you're fearful, then you freeze. So you don't want to do. And what they found in research with people in various situations, and this came from a West Point psychology professor, Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. He said the one thing that he found out in his research is that people predetermined, they played things out in their mind. They visualized stuff, how they'd respond to it. So when a situation might occur, it's as if it kicked in. They responded appropriately. It's sort of like military training. You just see yourself responding to certain things and handling them accordingly. And he said you think about how you would take smart action. Also, he said if you're taking a road trip like this family was, you want to program police stations and hospitals into your car's GPS. And the press of a button will lead you to safety. And these are some wonderful, wonderful tips. And there are a few more, and I'm not going to be able to share them. We're going to be going on break. But I thought I would share that one with you because it had not really occurred to me. I always leave a lot of distance between myself and another vehicle. But sometimes you might be coming home late or you're working in, you know, a particular neighborhood. And being proactive is going to keep you out of problems. It really will. And if for some reason something happens, because you can have some Looney Tunes driving around or being around, and you just never know what somebody's going to be triggered by, you'll be able to respond appropriately. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, let me share something with you relative to some unique cancer healings. There, you know, we all want to be healthy, and sometimes life happens to us, and there are situations that create a shift and a change in circumstances that so often cannot be explained. I had a very personal experience with this once when I was in the hospital. I was in my late 20s, and I was hemorrhaging internally, had to be rushed to a hospital, and it was one of those situations that, interestingly enough, I knew something had been wrong. Something was wrong with my body. In fact, I'd even gone in for a physical. And I had said to my doctor, I said, something is wrong. And it's in the female portion of the body, and I know that it's there. It has to be taken care of. Well, he did a thorough physical. And I mean, he did a thorough physical. He said, Donna, I can't find a thing wrong with you. Well, I don't blame him. 3 days later, on my birthday, I'm in an emergency room hemorrhaging. As it turned out, it was a cyst on an ovary that had ruptured. And the pain was excruciating. When they examined me, they put a needle. It was the longest, biggest needle I've ever seen in my life that was put up inside. And all they knew was that there was a whole bunch of blood. And they had to open me up to find out where that blood was coming from. So it was an emergency surgery. Well, after I had the surgery, everything was going along just fine. And then, lo and behold, I'm developing pneumonia. And my mentor's mother was a highly respected healer. And Mama Dash was her name. And she came into my hospital room because she'd called me, wanted to know how I was doing. And I told her, I said, well, they tell me I have pneumonia. This is really something. I don't feel like I have pneumonia, but they say that I've got it and I can't get out of the hospital. She said, oh, I'll come by. So she came by and she visited with me, and then she did a laying on of the hands in the abdominal area working up to the chest. And she said, "You're going to be just fine." Well, it was about an hour and a half later, I broke out into an intense sweat. I was dripping with perspiration, and my body was going through this tremendous change. Now, they had given me a test telling me that the pneumonia was very serious, and they didn't dare let me out of the hospital until it shifted. It was less than 8 hours later, they did another test. They said, "It's all gone. We don't know why, but you're just doing fine." And I said, "Thank you, Susie." That was a personal experience, one of a few that I've had in my lifetime, with healing that was done for me and to me by someone who has the gift with the healing hands. So I'm a very firm believer in that. These are some stories that I came across that always are very interesting, and so I thought I'd share them with you. And they've been documented. That's why they're here. On May 19, 1947, there was a hospital in Washington, D.C. that admitted a 59-year-old individual, three-pack-a-day smoker, suffering from tiredness, weight loss, and a constant cough. That's what you'd expect. Soon after this person was admitted to the hospital, the cancer that they had unexplainably began to heal. 5 years later, no trace of that cancer remained, and they had absolutely no treatment whatsoever. They have no idea what caused the cancer to disappear. In a New York hospital, a cancer-riddled woman began to suddenly recover when her abusive husband unexpectedly died. In Australia, a man reversed his advanced state of bone cancer through the use of daily meditation, acupuncture, massage, and yoga. In 1932, a Tennessee farmer, Thomas Young, he was just about ready to die from cancer. He was in a hammock outside when the surrounding trees were struck by lightning. Traveling downwards, the voltage shot through the hammock wires, and Mr. Young himself. In fact, the lightning was so powerful it ripped the bottoms off of his shoes. Now, he survived this experience. It did disfigure his face, but the cancer was all gone. And then in 1957 in Brazil, there was a young girl. She was suffering from cancer. She was surrounded by her family, a very large family. When they saw a light, they said it came from a flying saucer. It landed in the yard, flooded the room. Every member of that family saw two persons called the Malians. They were about 4 feet tall. They had golden hair and green eyes. They watched them climb out of the hatch of the UFO, enter the house, and they communicated telepathically with this girl's father. Then they illuminated her body with a bluish light. The cancer was totally gone, left a vial of pills, and flew away. She was completely healed. It's an amazing thing. All kinds of stories. I think Bill Moyers' book, it was a series on healing. If you have a chance, go to your library and get it. It's absolutely amazing. There are so many ways that we can empower our own wellness. And sometimes when the odds seem the most despairing, we need to be aware that there are those options available. But we have to be open-minded about it and be willing to investigate to see what might help someone that we love or even ourselves. This is Donna Siebel. I know that we are just about out of time. Don't forget, Richard Bach is going to be my guest tomorrow. I'm so looking forward to having him again as a guest on my show. And we're going to be talking about Hypnotizing Maria. This is a story, it will just lift your heart and your spirit and just make you feel good with a wisdom and an insight that this man has been endowed with. He passes it along in his stories, and it's just such a joy to to know that he's come out with this new publication. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Enjoy this day. It is filled with wonderful opportunities. And who knows, there may be a special gift that you get that you never even expected to be delivered to you and unwrapped in this experience of life. Donna Sebo, don't forget, we'll be back here, right here at BBS Radio, same time, same place, station number one, The Donna Sebo Show. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.